will pledge allegiance to the flag, and please remain standing as the invocation will be given by Pastor Carl Bryant of True Light Community Church.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Let us pray. Lord, thank you for this day, and we pray for our city, our county, our state, our community, our nation. Father, we pray for the proceedings this morning, that everyone who steps to this podium would be filled with wisdom. We lift up this board of supervisors to you. Bless their families. Encourage them as they serve this community. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. We'll have presentation by George Skull.
Good morning. My name is George Skull. I'm this year's chairman of the Children and Families Commission. Also speaking today will be David Cooper, who was last year's chair, and John Sims, our executive director. I'd also like to recognize our staff that are in attendance, Veronica Asensio and Stephanie Loomis. The commission is very pleased about the performance of John, Veronica, and Stephanie. I would note that we now have three people doing work that was formerly done by as many as eight people. Also important to me, at least, and probably to all of us, is accountability. We've now had over 8 years of external audits with no findings and no recommendations. Our mission is promoting the development and well-being of children 0 through 5, as we will demonstrate, hopefully today, that we are accomplishing our mission. Most of you are very familiar with our work and our origins. As you know, tobacco taxes are collected and disseminated to the county based on live births. The state projected 7,800 plus births for 2015 in Stanislaus County. That's approximately 21 births a day. In 2002, there were 7,929 births, so our birth rate is actually declining. That plus the fact that cigarette tax revenues are declining, which is actually a good thing. The money available to us from the state is growing smaller each year, and John will be dealing with that. You're all familiar with makeup of the commission. We, as you know, you've appointed a new commissioner, Kathy Harwell. She's already making a contribution. She'll be the vice chair for this year. The next slide will list our partners. We are able to function with three staff, mainly because our partners are all conscientious, dedicated, and capable. I would like our partners to, people representing our partners, to stand and be recognized. The next chart shows that we provide services throughout the county. The contractors listed on the right side of the chart provide countywide services. We basically cover every nook and cranny of our county. I'll now turn it over to Dave Porter, who will continue.
Thank you, George. Good morning.
Good morning.
In continuing with our presentation, probably one of the most important points in the commission is strengthening families, because we believe that with strengthened families, we have a lot more thriving children. So that's our one of our main focuses, and one of the things that we many of our partnerships are focused on. If we look at the 0 to 5 population characteristics and compare between Stanislaus and the state, our 0-5 population comprises 8.7% in our community, compared to 7.7% in the state. And as has been the case regarding the federal poverty level, as has been the case for several years, the population in Stanislaus is below the 200% federal poverty level, is higher when compared to the state population. With regard to the infant mortality rate, our rate is higher than the state's, but the Stanislaus rate has been reduced from previous years, and we believe that's partially due to the commission and the programs that it funds. If we look at total participants by type, the total number served last year was 33,066. That includes, if you look at the pie chart, providers, which consists of our biannual conference providers, parents and guardians, 14,209 were served, and that includes over 2,000 kits for new parents. And that's something that the state puts together. It's an excellent resource that we provide for new parents. Other family members make up 17.4% of the participants served. If we look at ethnicity and race compared to services, you will see that the ethnic makeup of Stanislaus County that receives services is quite similar across the board. For example, the majority of children 0 to 5 in Stanislaus County are Hispanic, and the majority of children 0-5 that we are serving are also Hispanic. So you can see that there's a direct correlation there. If we look at the primary language of participants, same thing. English and Spanish make up the majority of the participants' primary language, and the participants served mostly reflect the makeup of the community. And I'll turn over to Mr. John Sims to discuss our budget issues.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This particular slide is a pie chart representation of the Commission's 15-16 fiscal year $7.3 million budget. As you can see, the largest portion of the pie, over 60% of the pie, goes for family functioning, and that supports family resource centers, the Family Justice Center, CASA, which is the court-appointed special advocates, and the Children's Crisis Center. The next largest piece of the pie at over 20% is the health part of the pie, and that supports dental education and care, as well as healthy birth outcomes, where we work with women who have an at-risk pregnancy to encourage them and educate them to have a healthy birth outcome. Education and systems change both take up about 1% of our pie. Under education, we have kindergarten transition programs as children move from preschool into kindergarten, as well as the Early Childhood Educators Conference, which was mentioned earlier, where we collaborate with the Office of Education and provide education and training to nearly 500 individuals each year. Under systems change, we're working with the Office of Education to build the capacity of their Healthy Start sites at various schools around the area. You also see a section of the pie that has other programs. That includes over $500,000 set aside for contingencies in the year, as well as staff time and cost to support the four other areas I just mentioned. As a final comment on this slide, I think it's significant that administration and evaluation take up 6% of the pie. So that means that 94% of what was budgeted in the 15-16 year actually went for direct services and programs in the community. This next slide is actually simpler than it may look at first glance. The white bars themselves represent fiscal year budgets for the commission for the last 10 years, from the 06-07 fiscal year through the 15-16 fiscal year. The black numbers on the right side of the bar indicate the budget total for the year, what was adopted by the commission. The red numbers on the left side of the white bar indicate the reserves that were actually expended in that year to support the programs that were funded in that particular year. So for an example, at the bottom of that list of bars in the 06-07 fiscal year, the budget adopted by the commission was $11.3 million. The amount of money taken out of reserves to support that budget was $785,000 for the year. Now, as the chairman mentioned earlier, we have a decreasing revenue stream based on the amount of cigarette sales as compared to the number of live births that occur in the county. At one time, the commission received over $8 million a year in funding. That funding has dropped over time so that we're now receiving just right around $5 million a year. Some other observations about this slide. You see that $97 million has been budgeted by the commission over the last 10 years. Our largest budget was in the 08-09 fiscal year at $13.5 million, and because of that decreasing revenue stream, you see a constant decrease in our budget over time. And by contrast, if you look at the 15-16 year, that $7.5 million budget is roughly half of our high watermark there in 08-09. The use of reserves, you see, has ranged from $476,000 in any one year to $2.6 million in any one year. We started at one time with a reserve that was in excess of $24 million, and that reserve now is below $10 million. Now, that spend down of reserves has been something that has been a part of the Commission's policy and strategic plan for well over a decade. We think that in as early as 4 years from now, or as soon as 4 years from now, we will reach a point that we've nicknamed equilibrium, where we will only be spending what we're taking in. We are trying to spend that reserve down to a commission-established reserve level of 50% of any year's anticipated revenues. I will end my comments at this point and turn it back to George Skoll for some final comments.
They say the proof of the pudding is in the eating. The results that we present today should assure you that we are fulfilling our obligation to safeguard the well-being of children 0 to 5. The parents of 11,700 plus children received family support services through our family resource centers. Close to 2,400 children received the more intensive support services focusing on in preventing and ameliorating child abuse and other risk factors. One of the primary objectives of the Family Children and Family Commission is safeguarding the health of our 0 to 5 population. I'm proud of our efforts in fighting infant mortality. When we started this effort in 2003, the infant mortality rate was 8.2 deaths per thousand. It went as low as 5.8 deaths per thousand, and we had a blip up just this past year. But we're still saving two lives per thousand births that would have ordinarily been lost. We are able to do this through our partnership with the Health Services Agency, which has done an amazing job managing and getting health insurance issues and getting more and more children into health care. We're also trying to improve children's lives through education. There's an old saying that if you think education is expensive, try ignorance. As you can see, we've provided educational services to 1,500 families. Finally, leveraging is critical. As noted here, we have almost doubled the amount of money available to our contractors through their efforts on taking your money, and leveraging it from other sources. We have basically doubled the amount of money available. When I say we, I mean our contractors have doubled the amount of financing available to support their activities. In short, we think we're meeting our objectives, and I'd be pleased to answer any of your questions.
Anyone on the board have any comment or? Yes, Vito.
Thank you very much, George and Dave and the rest of the commission, all the commissioners. I have served for many years on this committee. I can assure you it's a declining revenue source, obviously, and the tough decisions are to come. But I will tell you that we wouldn't be successful as a board if it wasn't for our partner agencies. Everyone has bought into the accountability component of this to show that how we're spending money works based on people that are served. You saw in that very first slide, population, we have a higher population of 0 to 5. We have a higher poverty rate, which is a double doozy, and I think we're doing a fantastic job. To the FRCs, the Family Resource Centers, I see the one in Houston the most, but they've turned into essentially clearinghouses for other things. We had a national night out, and out of national night out, the reason it was so successful is the folks from the Family Resource Center are out getting people together, which is another benefit beyond the Prop 10. So anyways, I want to thank you guys. Continue the great work, and I will take no credit for this whatsoever. It's all you guys. And you. Thank you.
I would also like to congratulate everyone involved. Your commitment has been tremendous. You have the background, all of those involved. We thank you very much for your contribution, and your job is well done. Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen.
We now will go to public comment. Anyone wishing to make any comment that is not on today's agenda has 5 minutes to do that. We do have a request from Carmen Sabatino.
Good morning. 1 week from today, we will be voting on a measure called Measure L. During the time I was mayor, I did serve on STANCOG, and I have to tell you that my evaluation of STANCOG over the years has been pretty dysfunctional. I recall early on where Supervisor Ray Simon came to a meeting, and the CEO at the time greeted him and said, "Supervisor DeMartini, this is your first time here." And he said, "Yes, and it'll be my last time here." Trying to get people to serve on STANCOG at that time, if you asked a fellow city council member, they'd say, "Oh, not me, didn't even want to attend." Dysfunctionality was the fact that they couldn't get anything done. They just argued about things, hired consultants, argued some more, hired some more consultants. Well, what we've done now is that you all got together and said, you know, what we need is money. So you created this Measure L, and now you will be giving them $40 million a year. And I suspect that after that, if Measure L passes, and it should, given the support that it has received, Measure L has taken $700,000 of our tax money and promoted, some might call it educated people. You don't spend $700,000 on education. It was a political campaign, pure and simple. But the other contribution was that the supporters of Measure L also raised another $500,000. So the total, they didn't spend it all, but they've spent $236,000 somewhere in there. So in order to pass one measure in Stanislaus County, you spent $1 million to convince people to tax themselves and to not tell them the truth. Because the truth is that you haven't explained what you're going to do with the money you are now spending on roads. Well, what you could do, if you want to be honest about it, you take that money and spend it on the expressways that you want to put in. And the expressways are here to bring more people into Modesto to buy more houses, bring more commuters, and bring more crime. And they say that this is economic development. So then you take the new money and replace it. It's sort of like what you do with the library. You find something that people really want, and you tax them. And that frees up the money that you should be allocating to the library. That frees it up for other things that you want. There's so many things that are going to be happening here in the next month or two that I understand. I am sorely concerned with the district attorney's office. I have been wired. I have been, I've made a request to the district attorney to have all those wiretaps, and we have them, but I want her to furnish them. If I, as a former mayor and a businessman in this city, if I'm going to be continually, if I'm under investigation on a continuous basis, it's going to stop. And to tell you and Supervisor O'Brien, there's nothing she won't do. District Attorney, I think, has ruined the career of your wife. Her work on this case, on the Frank Carson case, has been excellent. So excellent that they let her go. They called her as a witness and decided, no, we're not going to call her. Well, so the defense says, well, if you're not going to call her as an expert witness, we will. Anyhow, we'll get the full story of that out as soon as the Carson trial ends. I'm not asking you for anything. I'm telling you what we're going to do. It's time to move on. Thank you.
Thank you, Congressman. Is there anyone else wishing to make any comment at this time? If not, we will now go on to the consent calendar. Anyone on the board wishing to pull anything on the consent calendar? Before the board takes any action on the consent calendar, does anyone in the audience wish to make a comment or have a question on any matter on the consent calendar? Now would be the time to step forward. If not, I'll bring it back to the board. What's your wish?
Motion to approve consent.
Is there a second?
I will second that.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
It has been passed. Thank you. We now will go to the 905 public hearing. Angela Freitas and Christian Dowd.
Good morning, Chairman Monteith, members of the board, Mr. Eisen, Mr. Doring, Angela Freitas, Planning Director. Here with me this morning to present this ordinance amendment on events and use compatibility is Kristen Dowd, Associate Planner, and I'll turn the presentation over to Kristen.
Good morning, Chairman Monteith, members of the board. Here to present events and use compatibility regulations, ordinance amendment PLN 2016-008. This is a request to amend the following chapters of the Stanislaus County Zoning Ordinance, Title 21, to allow for weddings and other similar events in the ag zone when a use permit is obtained and to address nuisance concerns. Chapter 21.08, General Provisions. Chapter 21.16, Districts Generally. Chapter 21.20, General Agricultural District. Chapter 21.104, Revocation of Permits. And Chapter 21.108, Amendments. In 2007, an amendment to the county's zoning ordinance was proposed to allow weddings and other special events in the RA, R1, or A2 zoning district, provided a use permit was obtained, subject to the provisions of a new ordinance which specified limits on the number of events, operating hours, maximum attendance, buffering requirements, the maximum area of use, the size and type of structures, and parking criteria. The regulations went through many revisions in an attempt to balance the concerns of both those for and against holding weddings in the ag zone. The proposed amendment was presented to the Planning Commission on December 20th of 2007. Many people spoke both for and against the proposed ordinance amendment. The comments received at the public hearing from those opposed to the ordinance included concerns with impacts to traffic, parking, noise, security, safety, and potential negative impacts to agriculture. wedding venue operators were generally in agreement that the proposed ordinance was cost prohibitive. Concerns were voiced that there's a lack of enforcement of existing regulation and that existing regulations should be cleaned up before new uses are permitted. Many stated that they believed outdoor venues in agricultural areas could work incredibly well with agriculture when done right. And some stated that outdoor event operations should be permitted and conditioned on a case-by-case basis. And on a vote of 8-0, the Planning Commission recommended that the Board of Supervisors take no action to adopt the ordinance amendment. And the Board of Supervisors considered the ordinance amendment at a public hearing held on January 29, 2008. And ultimately, the Board took no action on the item and directed planning staff to reevaluate the ordinance. The current options for permitting outdoor events or weddings in the ag zone includes an event permit through a sheriff, general plan amendment and rezone, or a Tier 3 use permit. However, these options have proven to be a bad fit for weddings due to the sheriff permit being limited to public events only with a maximum of 6 per year. General plan amendments and rezones discourage spot zoning and are generally only supported near existing development. And the Tier 3 use permit for events is currently limited to public events such as outdoor festivals, concerts, churches, or recreational camps. So in an effort to allow a process to permit weddings and other similar events in the ag zone and to evaluate all potential impacts on a case-by-case basis, this ordinance amendment proposes to add language including weddings and similar events provided they are located, not located on Williamsonet contracted land to the section of the agricultural zoning ordinance which lists use permits, uses permitted with a use permit. Other similar events could include other invite-only events such as graduation celebrations, quinceañeras, or bat mitzvahs held on an agricultural property for a fee. Use permits must go through a discretionary process, which requires that each project be evaluated individually in terms of compatibility with a surrounding area, potential environmental impacts, and required operating standards such as parking noise, hours or days of operation, number of events, security, or buffering from adjacent properties. Each application will go through its own public review and public hearing process. When located within a city's sphere of influence or 1 mile from a sphere and within a city's general plan boundary, the use permit will be referred to that city for comments. In order for the Planning Commission to approve a use permit, the Commission must find that the use will be consistent with the general plan and will not be detrimental to the health, safety, and general welfare or persons residing or working in the neighborhood, or injurious to property and improvements in the neighborhood, or to the general welfare of the county. And additional findings are required for the Tier 3 use permit, including findings that the use will not be detrimental to or in conflict with surrounding agriculture, and will not be located on the county's most productive agricultural areas or may be reasonably returned to agriculture in the future. All of the public input we received was in response to the events portion of the ordinance amendment. Three response letters were received, two were no comment letters, and the third received from the city of Turlock expressed concerns over the proposed ordinance amendment in terms of the siting of outdoor events in or near urban areas. The letter expressed concern with operations which may expand over time and end up requiring urban services such as public water and sewer services. It further requested that amendments to the proposed ordinance be made to specify more detailed design standards. Staff reviewed the City of Turlock's response letter and believes that the county's current general plan policies and the use permit process will satisfy the City of Turlock's concerns. We also received a number of phone calls with just general inquiries about the use permit process and an email expressing support. The second part of the ordinance amendment, these are a number of changes to address nuisance concerns. The current ordinance amendment also contains, they're intended to clarify and enhance existing zoning regulations in terms of addressing compatibility and nuisance concerns with all land uses within the unincorporated area. So this includes a proposed text change to chapter 21.08.100, which states that no use shall be conducted on any premises in such a manner as to cause an unreasonable amount of noise, odor, dust, smoke, vibration, electrical interference, or other nuisance condition detectable off the site. And in an effort to clarify that any use which is prohibited by local, state, or federal law is not allowed, chapter 21.16.40 is proposed to be amended to read, no land use prohibited under local, state, or federal law shall be allowed in any zoning district within the unincorporated area of the county. to provide a process to amend operating conditions to address nuisance concerns. Section 21.104, revocation of permits, is proposed to be amended, including text which states the Director of Planning and Community Development may amend the conditions of any permit or variance granted in accordance with this title in order to address nuisance concerns. The title of Chapter 21.104 is also proposed to be amended from revocation of permits to amendment and revocation of permits. And the title of Chapter 21.108 is proposed to be amended from amendments to ordinance amendments to provide clarification on the purpose of each chapter. And just to note, currently, nuisance language is only included in the H1 highway commercial, C1 neighborhood commercial, C2 general commercial, M industrial and LM limited industrial zoning districts. So this proposed amendment would allow that the nuisance regulations to apply to all zoning districts throughout the unincorporated county. The Stanislaus County Planning Commission conducted a public hearing to consider the proposed ordinance amendment on September 15, 2016. No one spoke for or against the project. However, the commissioners did ask staff a number of questions. First, regarding the Williamson Act, staff clarified that the 2015 Stanislaus County Agricultural Report states that 60% of the total acres in the county are currently under Williamson Act, and over 70% of the acres in the A2 zoning district are enrolled in the Williamson Act. Staff also provided clarification about the non-renewal and cancellation processes for the Williamson Act contracts. Second, the commission asked staff about applying conditions of approval on use permits for events in the A2 zoning district. Staff explained that conditions such as limits on number of activities, protocol for responding to complaints, or traffic and noise mitigation will be applied to each use permit on a case-by-case basis. And finally, the commission requested clarification as to where the ordinance amendment applied, and staff clarified that the Chapter 2120 A2 district amendment applies only to properties in the A2 zoning district, not under a Williamson Act contract, and the remaining amendments apply to all zoning districts in the unincorporated county. At that Planning Commission hearing, the Planning Commission provided a recommendation to the Board of Approval. And approval of the subject ordinance amendment request includes finding the project to be generally exempt from CEQA and to be consistent with the general plan. And that concludes staff's presentation, and we are available for any questions.
Anyone on the board, any comment or concern? Yes.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, just some comments. I'm very happy to see this come back to us since 2008. Back then, I voted in token support to try to find a path to where we are today, and so I'm happy to see this back before us. I think one thing that we need to make clear to the public is that this isn't going to happen all over the place. I think we've crafted the rules very tightly that the nuisance, it can't affect people living out there in the ag zone. And there's not too many places in the county that this is going to be able to be allowed. I will call out one. I think Blooming Camp Ranch is an excellent area that will hopefully look towards this. They have plenty of off-site parking. They are away from any other resident. They're not going to affect them on noise. So, you know, there's places that this will work. It's not going to be widespread. Looking at neighboring counties, something like Wine and Roses would be great in Stanislaus County, where we bring our ag heritage into what we do. And so I'm full support of this, and I know the rules are very strict on where this can happen. And some of the places that has happened in the past aren't going to be allowed, but there are places that this would work.
Anyone else wish to make comment?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Just a few comments about this. I have always been apprehensive about anything out in an agricultural area that's not agriculture. Something like weddings, you know, can be really problematic for ag operations in the area. And I could probably go along with this today, you know, assuming that, you know, the regulations are going to be tight enough where it's not going to disrupt the area. Nothing really mixes very well with agriculture. And when you put groups of people out in an ag area, I mean, you can have a lot of problems disrupting harvest and spraying operations. Supervisor O'Brien mentioned Blooming Camps. I'm familiar with that place. Something like that would work fine. But having a, you know, small parcel out in an ag area with, 100 cars trying to get parked alongside the road or something is not going to work. I would think that there would be very few locations that would meet the criteria that were outlined today, and that there would be a use permit, and there's problems with that use permit, it can be revoked. I assume that's true, isn't it? Because we've taken away use permits before when there's problems like that scrap metal place. As long as it's not detrimental that they can operate the business without disrupting the neighborhood, I'll go along with it. But I guess we still have the hammer to take away the use permit if there's problems. You say agriculture just doesn't mix with many things, and that's why we've tried to keep as few things as possible, in the agricultural areas, but agriculture. So, you know, this could be problematic, but, you know, I think with the public hearings, I know in spheres of influence of the cities have to comment on it, and I suppose we could take away the use permit if we have to. But I'll go along with this today, but I'm a little apprehensive about it, and I, you know, have a concern, too, whether there'll be parcels that are taken out of the Williamson Act just for this purpose. I don't know if that'll be the case or not, but it'd be something to watch.
Anyone else wishing? Yes.
They either rotated out over 10 years, they're not eligible till the 10th year, right, on the Williamson Act, or they pay the penalty, of which would be cost prohibitive for most people, I would think. I think there's enough of a protection there. I don't see. I remember back in 2008 sitting in the audience before I was elected and hoping they were going to make this decision in case I got elected, because it was tough at the time. I remember the audience, and I agree with Supervisor DeMartini that not many things mix with agriculture. So it was a tough one. Now we've had a few years under our belt, I think about 8 years under our 9 years, to see, and I think this is okay to expand it. I don't see a big rush because of the penalty, the prohibitive penalty. And if people decide to rotate it out for 10 years, it doesn't do them a lot of good. We do the use permit. We still have the ability to revoke it. I think it's a good compromise. That's what I see it as, a good compromise. So I'll be voting yes.
Anyone else wishing to comment?
Yes, I don't want to repeat everything, but I agree with everything that everyone, all my colleagues have said here. I think it's great, as a result of our general plan update, that the cities and the concern that Turlock had here will be addressed in kind of in our meet and confer, anything that's going to happen within their sphere. So I think that we address that very well. I wasn't a part of all of this 8 years ago when this happened, 8 or 9 years ago, but something that I've always thought that share the same concerns as Jim, you know, we just need to be careful, but I think the regulations are very tight here. But I think this is a great way for us to promote our agricultural heritage. And there's a lot of people that come to weddings and come to events and will come here and see what we have and what a jewel we have here in our agriculture. So I think that only helps encourage the preservation of it, not bring it down. So I look at this as a good thing. So I will support this also.
Anyone else wish to make comment? Well, I would like to state that I think you're going in the right direction. I think we're coming up with a set of process by which you can regulate those coming in and setting up the standards. The one thing I would like to add, and I will be supporting this, but one thing I'd like to add is, as we go further on, is to address the noncompliance. And I would address the noncompliance, those that are not complying, that there be a penalty, not in an amount that would be considered as just a course of doing business. I believe those who do not follow the law and ignore it should be penalized in order for us to have teeth in this, because I believe it has merit, but unless we can control it in a proper manner and people will accept and realize that there is a proper manner in which to go into business, there, that we need to have compliance. So as time goes on, I would like to see if we can come up with a method by which we can perhaps control that issue, and so that we end up with having a strong program that allows the proper conditions of doing business in the county with the basic philosophy that the county has at this time. So With that, if there isn't anyone else on the board wishing to make comment, I'd like to open it up to public comment at this time, public hearing. Anyone wishing to make a comment at this time? Now is the time. If not, I will close the public hearing and we'll go into deliverance.
Mr. Chairman, I'll make a motion to approve all staff recommendations.
Is there a second?
I will second that.
Been moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? It's passed. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We now will go into correspondence.
This board has received a worker adjustment and retraining notification letter from Nestle USA, Inc. regarding the temporary layoff of 78 employees at the facility located at 736 Garner Road, Modesto, from November 24th through January 9th, 2017.
Refer to the Alliance Network and Workforce Development Board.
This board has received two public hearing notices from the California Water Boards regarding amendments to the water quality control plan for the Sacramento River and the San Joaquin River Basin for control of pyrethroid pesticide discharges and to adopt salinity water quality objectives for the lower San Joaquin River.
Refer to the Department of Environmental Resources and the Agricultural Commissioner and the Seal of Weights and Measures.
This board has received the claims as noted on the agenda.
Acknowledge receipt of claims and refer to the Chief Executive Office, Risk Management Division. At this time, is there anyone on the board have a report? Yes.
Yes, I do, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to report out that last Wednesday we had our eighth annual Biggest Loser contest on the west side with a nine different teams from three west side cities competing, you know, with our health and fitness theme. The winning team lost just an astounding 258 pounds in for 10 people. Unbelievable. The total pounds lost,
Was that a mass movement?
I don't know how they did it. The Ag Commissioner's office had to weigh them twice just to be sure we had it right. The total weight loss was 844 pounds between all the teams. So it was a really great event. We had the weigh out in Gustine this year as we rotated a different place every year. That was a nice event, and of course the task force has been promoting health and fitness, and this is one way do we do this, sort of a fun atmosphere, but serious in the point that, you know, not to be overweight and, you know, other things that can lead to an early demise. So it was a nice event, our eighth annual, so I don't know if we could ever beat the 258-pound loss again. That's a new record for us.
Well, congratulations. Anyone else wishing?
That's like 25 pounds a person, awesome. I mean, unless somebody lost like 100 pounds. I mean,
one person I think lost 40. So.
Jeez,
it's amazing. There.
We then will go to legislative, fiscal, and management report. Chief Executive Officer.
No report this morning.
No report. This meeting now is adjourned, but it is followed by a closed session, and the County Council.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, we have conference with legal counsel to discuss existing litigation pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9, Subdivision D1. This involves one case, Sandra Gutierrez versus Sweeney Panu et al., Stanislaus County Superior Court, case number 2008632. We do not expect to report out on this matter.
Okay, thank you.